Morning. Today's daf is daf Membeis in Zvachim. And today's a very concentrated, focused discussion on Shitas Rabbi Meir. We did a Mishnah yesterday in Menachos, and there's a simple way to understand Rabbi Meir, and Reish Lakish refuses to understand Rabbi Meir in the simple way. Let's review the Mishnah again in Menachos. We saw this, we did this yesterday, but this is just a way of review and a way of introducing us to today's daf. The Mishnah says like this. It's in the middle of the Amud, Memalf Amud Beis, Tanan Hasam. We went to the Mishnah over there. This is from Menachos. Pickle Bekamets V'lo B'Levana, B'Levana V'lo Bekamets, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pickle V'Chayev V'lo Kares. Okay. Mishnah tells us that if you're Mefagel regarding the Kemitza, and but not for the Levona or vice versa, for the Levona but not for the Kemitza, so Meir says that you successfully created Pickle. Now, by every mincha offering, there are two components to the mincha offering. Number one, there are two components. There are two things that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Number one is the kemitza. What you do is you take your fistful, you put it into the flour, and you scoop up a fistful of flour. That's kametz, and that then is put into a kli sharis, and that kli sharis is walked over to the mizbeach, and you burn it on the mizbeach. You burn that little fistful of flour on the mizbeach. That's the kometz. The other part is the lavona. Lavona is frankincense that is laid on top of the mincha offering. Then what happens is that you skim off the lavona, and you burn it on the mizbeach as well. So, on the act of burning, when it comes to every mincha offering, most mincha offerings, so there are two parts of it that are burnt. The kometz and the lavona. So these are called matirin. These are things that are permitting the kohen to eat the mincha offering, the remainder of the mincha offering. Okay, so Rav Meir says that if either one of them are burnt with the intent of chutzos mano, you create pigel. The simple pshat in Rav Meir, which I keep going back to because it really is the simple pshat in Rav Meir, is that he's of the opinion, mefaglin bechatzi matir, that even though you only did one of the two matirin with a machshav of chutzos mano, you've affected pigel. So the simple pshat, the real easy pshat to understand Rav Meir is mefaglin chatzi matir. That's what we would say is simple. V'chacham amomrim, now, the halacha, by the way, the halacha doesn't fall like Rav Meir. The halacha falls like the chachamim, ein bo karas hashifaga b'chol ha-matir. And the chachamim say no, that pigel is only created when you're mefaga b'chol ha-matir. You need to have both lavona and the kometz in mind in order to successfully create pigel. Good. Then along comes Reish Lakish. He came yesterday. He came a little bit before yesterday, but in the Daf Yomi he came yesterday. And he says, no. There is absolutely no disagreement when it comes to whether or not you're mefagel b'chatzi matir. Everybody agrees, ain mefagel b'chatzi matir. That if you only had half of the matir in mind, or part of the matir in mind, that is insufficient to create pigel. You must have the whole matir. You must have the machshava during the entire matir. Everybody agrees to that. So if everybody agrees to that, so where's the machlokas? Obviously, Rav Meir disagrees with the chachamim. And so he says, Reish Lakish, they're disagreeing about what if you start with a machshava of chutzos mano, and then for the remaining part of the avoda, you have nothing in mind. Shtika. You don't say anything. You're quiet. Which, by the way, again, speaks to the idea that we spoke from day one, that the whole idea of machshava is that you have to articulate and you have to speak it out. And then, what if you have shtika? What if you have nothing? You say nothing for the remaining part of the avoda. Is there a carryover from your original machshava through the remaining part of the avoda? Or for each part of the avoda, do you have to articulate and speak it out? That's the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Meir. Chachamim say that for every part of the avoda, for zrika, let's go back to our mincha case. For both the lavona and the kemitza, you need to have a chutzos mano machshav in mind. And Rav Meir says no carryover. Once I start with a machshav of chutzos mano, that machshava carries over unless I state otherwise. That is Reish Lakish's understanding of this machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay, Meisvei. So the Gemara says, so we are now in the bottom of the page where we left off yesterday, two dots. And what we're going to do for really the entire day today, it's very focused, it's very good. What we're going to do today is either try to support or challenge Reish Lakish's thesis. Reish Lakish has a thesis that don't understand Rav Meir Kipshuto. It's not about Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. That's not the Machlokas. It's all about whether or not there's a carryover from your first Machshava to the end of the Avoda. But everybody agrees. This is Reish Lakish. Everybody agrees that ain't Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, that you're not Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. Okay. Meisvei. We are at the last two lines of the page on Mem Alpha Medbeis. Ba'medvar Mamurim Ba'damim Anitanim Ha'mizbech Ha'chitzam. When is this true? When is it true that a machshava for one zrika is going to be insufficient? Right, we got thrown into the middle of a braisa. It's a tosefta. Okay? That's for blood that's sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. As we have learned from the beginning of the fourth parak, we have now almost a week on this topic. Right, when it comes to the outer mizbeach, one zrika is all you need. It's all you need. Yes, by a chatas, you have to go to all four corners, but in terms of essential, one is all you need. So, if I have a machshava for that one, so then I've created pickle, because that's an essential avoda. But, any blood that has to be sprinkled on the inner mizbeach, kegon, arbaim v'shalosh yom ha-kippurim, 43 sprinkles on Yom Kippur. We'll go through the math in just a moment. The Achar Asar Shal Par Kohen Mashiach. 11 for the bull of the Kohen Gadol. Achar Asar Shal Par Halam Davar Shal Tzibor. 11 for the communal offering, bull offering. Pigel, Bein Berishona, Ubein Bishniya, Ubein Bishlishis. If you're Mefagel, either during the first set, during the second set, or during the third set, Rabbi Meir Omer Pigol V'chayav V'nalav Karis. So Rabbi Meir says that if you're Mefagel, for what we're now going to say is a simple pshat in the Tosefta, right? Whether it's the first set, second set, or third set, so you're Mefagel V'chayav V'nalav Karis. You've successfully created Pigol. V'chachamim Omerim Ein Bo Karis Ashi Yifagel B'chol HaMatir. And the Chachamim say, no, you have to have the Machshavas Pigol B'chol HaMatir. Period. That is the end of the Tosefta. So, okay, let me first go through the Shach Levatari of the Gemara, the next couple lines of Gemara, and then we're going to go back and we're going to go over this in much greater detail. Ketani miha, pegel, bein berishon, bein mishniyah, bein mishlishis. Upalig. So the Gemara says, now, think about it. Because according to Rav Meir says, if I'm a fagel, either during the first set, during the second set, during the third set, doesn't matter. As long as I got something in there, a machshava during one of the matirin, it's going to result in pigel. And this is obviously really an attack, a serious attack on the thesis of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says it's not about being mefagel b'chatzi matir. Reish Lakish says it's all about carryover, whether or not your machshava in the beginning can carry you through to the end, even if you don't have subsequent machshavas of chutzas mano. But everybody agrees, according to Reish Lakish, that ain mefagel mechatzi matir. And meanwhile, in this Tosefta, it seems pretty clear that the issue is whether or not you mefagel mechatzi matir. Because in the Tosefta, we have you had a machshava during the first set, or during the second set, or during the third set. It seems clear from the Tosefta that the issue over here is whether or not you're mefagel b'chatzi matir or you're not mefagel b'chatzi matir. Okay? And what the Gemara will do from this point forward now is it's going to try to defend Reish Lakish. It's a difficult position to defend. The Gemara is going to spend 3 Amorayim to try to defend Reish Lakish and give a pshat in the Tosefta. Okay, and that's what we're going to do, obviously, for the next point forward. But before we do that, let's cross our T's and dot our I's. Let's go back and go over just some of the details of this Tosefta.
When you're talking about the set, you're talking about the different.
Right. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to let's go through.
Because it would make a difference. May will only say within the same carbon, but not the.
Okay, so let's go back. So in this Tosefta we talked about now, on the outer, the Tosefta starts off, on the outer Mizbeach, meaning if it's a regular Chatas, so one sprinkling is essential, so there's only one Matir, right? So it's the first one and that's it. After that, it's Mitzvah, but it's not Likuvah. But when you go to the inner Mizbeach, so, and then the Tosefta gives 3 examples. Yom Kippur, Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur, and the Par Kohen Gadol. 43 sprinklings for Yom Kippur. Okay? Look at Rashi. Top Rashi on the page. 43. And by the way, as we'll learn later on this morning, some opinions have 48. Right? It's a lot of sprinkling. And by the way, remember, we also learned the halacha just a couple days ago that when you receive the blood in the bowl, you need enough blood for all sprinklings. But somebody asked me the other day, I don't know the answer. For each sprinkling, like, is there shear for how much needs to actually come off your finger? I don't know. In other words, a drop? I'm not sure, but whatever. Okay, 43. Achas lamala v'shal v'lamata abein abadem. Midama par. First of all, remember, in Yom Kippur, there are two bloods of two animals that are going inside with you into the Heichal. There's a bull and there's a goat. Right? The bull is a partial Kohen Gadol. The goat, Seir, is the twin of the Seir Lazazel. Right? There are two twin goats, the Seir Lazazel and Seir Lashem. They're decided by lottery. And the Seir Lazazel is taken away and thrown off the cliff. And the Seir LaHashem, that is shechted, and the blood is taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So remember now, there is a pairing of bloods that are going inside. So the first thing is Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, where the blood is taken into the inner sanctuary. Kohen Gadol is going to be walking. Kohen Gadol is going to be taking the blood, and his first step for each one of them, for both the Par and the Seir, is to go, the Mishnayos describe how he walks between the curtains. There's a double curtain separating the Kodesh, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's going to be walking inside, walking through here, and here standing right over here, and eight hazaz, eight sprinklings. Achas lamala, the sheva lamata. So there's going to be eight for the blood of the bull and eight for the blood of the goat in here. Then what he's going to do is he's going to come around over here, stand over here, face the paroches, same thing. Eight for the bull and eight for the goat. Then he's going to go to the Mizbech HaPnimi. Let's just do our math quickly. So that's 16. Eight inside over here times two is 16. Eight out here times two is 16. That already is up to 32. Next thing he's going to do is he's going to go around the Mizbech HaZahav, the inner Mizbech HaPnimi, same thing. And he's going to go on all four corners. And he's going to do that twice. So now we're up to 40. Is that where we want to be?
40.
We want to get to 43. So let's go back to Rashi. Okay. we'll get there. Achas lamala v'sheva lamata abein abadem midam apar kenegda midam asir hare tez zayin uchenegda mala paroches hare lamed beis. Fine. So that's 32. Arba al karnas mizbech apnimi mishneihem ke'echad Mu'uravim ke'dechsev alakach midam apar midam asir shimer mu'uravim hare lamed vav. So now, right. So it's 32 plus 4 because the bloods are mixed together. So that's 36. V'sheva hazos al tiharo. And finally, the punctuation is on the tiharo. If this is the top of the Mizbeach HaZahav, seven sprinklings are done to the very top of the base of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So that's another seven. 7 plus 36, 43. Okay. 43 sprinklings are done on Yom Kippur. So, look now at the next series of Rashis.
Which
part
is this?
The T-R-O, the top
which
of
the... Which part? It's the Seir Lashem.
There's only one part.
And then what is the
part? Parashal Kohen Gadol.
It's the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. So, right? The, fine. So, good. So,
whatever he did for the, B'nai Beis, that does not go inside. It's just
No, that part. That part's going inside.
Isn't there one for himself and there's one for the Kohanim?
No, it's the same one. He does Vidui twice on it.
It's the same part between corners?
Where am I? Bezos Yavo Aaron El Kosh, Bepar Ben Bakar Lachatos Vayel Olak. It's turned by Kodesh Shabbat Shemichim, right? And then from Bnei Yisrael he brings Seir, the Kri of Aaron is Parachat Aser Shalav Vichi Per Bad Dov Ad Beisal, and then he takes the two Seirim. No, but it's one par. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now look at the next series of Rashi's. Pickle Ben Rishona, right? Right. Bematanos Shalafnai Vnitnim. In other words, what the Tosefta says with the first, the second, the third, that's a series. Meaning, for when he goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's called the Rishona. When he goes into and stands in front of the Peroches and sprinkles in front of the Peroches, that's the Shnia, that's the second series. And the Shlishis is when he works with the Mizbeach HaZahav. So each one of them is considered a series. Good. Okay, so, and just to finish up over here, 11 by the Parashel Kohen Gadol, and 11 by the Parhelam Davar, well, that's easy. In other words, because for them, there's no Kodesh HaKadoshim for them. So for them, it's just 7 in front of the Paroches, and then 4 around the corners of the Mizbeach, 7 plus 4, that's 11. Okay, still, now that we got all the details down, still, now we're stuck. Because again, the thesis of Reish Lakish is that when Rav Meir is arguing with the Chachamim, it's not about being Mefaga B'chatzi Matir. He agrees. Ain Mefaga B'chatzi Matir. It's an issue of, if you start with, you need to have the whole Matir in mind. It's just a question of when you start with Machshava, does that Machshava carry you over till the very end? That's the thesis of Reish Lakish. Gemara says, it's a nice thesis, but when you learn this Tosefta, it doesn't stand. Because the Tosefta says, let's go over that last part of the Tosefta. Bein Berishona, Ubein B'Shnia, Ubein B'Shlishis. The simple pshat of the Tosefta is if you have a Machshava Pigal, either during the first series, or during the second series, or during the third series, it is going to be Pigal according to Rebbe Meir. Okay. It really does sound like this is all about whether or not you're Mefaga B'Chatzi Matir. It really does sound that way. So, as I pointed out, this is a tough question against Reish Lakish's theory, against his thesis, and the Gemara is going to try to give three answers. Answer number one. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avin hacha b'mayiskinin kagon shepigal b'shchita dechad matir hu. So, answer number one goes like this. Yeah, you're mefagel b'shchita, which is one matir. What does that mean? What does that answer mean? Just simple pshat in how he's trying to defend. Rashi kagon shepigal b'shchita. Rashi's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Had the kamer of Meir pigal b'shnia pigal kagon shenishba chadam la'achar shegmar matnos shebifnim. Okay, we're going to now suggest that the Tosefta is describing the following case. Yes, it's certainly going to be a dochik, meaning we're going to now inject more storyline in the Tosefta in order to try to defend Reish Lakish. And according to Rashi, the way it works is like this. The Kohen Gadol did sprinkling in the inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He did the 8 for each one, and then he spilled it. And by the way, you just imagine, he didn't get a good night's sleep last night. In fact, he didn't get any sleep whatsoever. He was kept up the whole night. So he's tired, right? And he did also all the avodas of that day. He spilled it. So and I'll assume that there's no blood left. In other words, it was all lost. So now what do? You go back and you bring a new goat and a new bull and you shech the new goat and new bull. Okay? The Kaim Alam B'Seder Yom, I'm reading in Rashi, Yavi Acher V'Yascha Behechal. But you don't have to start from, you don't have to start fresh. In other words, now in terms of the sprinkling, you finish the first series. You can move on to the second series. Ukishashachad ez hasheni pigo b'shchita so v'kamer of Meir da'u par have pigo share pigo bo ba'avodah shlema. Now, what we're going to say is, according to Rav Meir, what you have done now is you had a thought of Machshavas Pigol during that entire series of that entire animal. Okay. So in that case, Rav Meir says, you're Mefagel. Okay. Now, it is, right?
It's the whole thing.
Right. It is, right. This is a little complicated. It is part of the blood, but it is the entire animal. That blood represents the blood of that entire animal. So vis-a-vis that entire animal, it is a full matir. Vis-a-vis the totality of how many sprinklings you need to do, it's true. It's only part of the blood that's sprinkled. But still, though, we'll suggest this is the pshat in the Braisa so that we could defend Reish Lakish's thesis. So the Gemara says, okay, ihachi my time at the Rabbanan. Okay. So then let me ask you this question then. So then the Chachamim argue. Well, why would they argue?
It's not a Chatzimatir.
It's a whole Matir. So Amarava Man Chachamim Rebbe Lazi here. So the Gemara, in its defense, in this first answer, has to go even one step further. Well, we'll say like this. The Chachamim really is Rebbe Lazi, Ditnan. We know the Rebbe Lazi is of the opinion. Hakom is Valavon of Akhtaros, Uminchas Kohanim, Uminchas Kohanim Mashiach, Uminchas Nesachim Sheikrim, Me'achas Mehem Kezayitz Pachutz, Chayev. Right. If I have any one of these things that we just listed, the common theme in all of these is that they are entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. Lavona, all of it's burnt on the Mizbeach. Ketores, same thing. Minchas Kohanim, I skipped one by the way, Kometz, entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. Minchas Kohanim. Any Mincha of a Kohen is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, Pasuk in the Torah. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Kohen Gadol brings a mincha every single day, also totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Minchas Nesachim, every mincha that accompanies a carbon, again, totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Now, you have all these things which are totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and you take a kezayis of it and offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash. We talked about Shechutei Chutz, offering something outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's also another Isser in the Torah of Mala B'chutz, offering something outside the Beis HaMikdash. If you do a kezayis of these, you are going to be chayev. Fine. Rebbe Elazar, poter. Rebbe Elazar says no. No. Ach Yakriv es Kulan. Rebbe Elazar says that you have to, since all of it is burned on the Mizbeach, therefore, all of it has to be brought outside in order for you successfully to violate the Isser of Mala B'chutz. Now, the Gemara is making a leap, right? It is a leap, meaning we are talking about Pigel. We're talking about Machshavas Pigel. And the Gemara is assuming, well, since Rabbi Eliezer says that in order to violate Mala B'chutz, I have to take all of it out, so presumably for him in the world of Pigel, it's got to be the same. It's all or nothing. Even though it's two, right? We're talking about two different things. We're talking about the Isser. We are talking about the Isser Pigel, and Rabbi Eliezer over there is talking about the Isser Mala B'chutz. So I don't fully understand how they necessarily correlate. The Gemara obviously does. Okay, so I need to improve my understanding of the Gemara. But even still, though, the Gemara says it's not a good defense. V'hama Rava Umod Rabbi Eliezer B'damim. Look, Rabbi Eliezer might say that when it comes to these Mekomets, Ketores, these things, it's true, it's all or nothing. But when it comes to blood, even Rabbi Eliezer does not hold an all or nothing position. Then now we learned in the Mishnah. We will learn in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Amri, Memakom, Shepasuk, Misham, Hu, Maschil. Even Rabbi Eliezer says that when it comes to the sprinkling of Yom Kippur, you could pick it up from where you left off. You don't have to start from the beginning again. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer does not necessarily have this all or nothing mentality. So the Gemara says, look, this first answer that we're trying to defend Reish Lakish with, by saying that we're talking about where the blood spilled, and we're talking about shechting a new animal, and trying to figure out where the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir, and then aligning the Chachamim with the position of Rabbi Eliezer. But the truth of the matter is, even if we did that, Rabbi Eliezer does not hold an all or nothing position when it comes to blood. That was a good sentence. So that was a lot. So this defense of Reish Lakish is not going to work. Okay, so we're going to move on. Okay, new defense of Reish Lakish. Ella. Pigol has to be about an achila, has to be about a consumption. Not you per se, but it could be the Mizbeach. Right. Okay, it has to be just a consumer. Okay, answer number two. Defense number two. Ella. Amar Rava Kagon Shapigal Berishon of Shasak Bishneah, Vichazab Upigal Bishlishis. The Tosefta goes like this. Here's how you're going to have to read the Tosefta. What happened was, again, there are three series of bloods on Yom Kippur. First series is Kodesh HaKadoshim. Second series is the Parochas. Third series is the Mizbeach HaKetores, Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbeach HaPanimi, all the same. Right? And what happened is that you had a machshava chutzes mano for series number one. You said nothing for series number two. And then you had a machshava chutzes mano for series number three. That's what we're talking about in the Tosefta. That's what the Tosefta is talking about. Oh.
Why do you need a third one?
Gemara's next point. Good. Gemara's next point. Ma'u detema isakada. I'm sorry. Isakada chal das rishono hu mehadar pigul b'shushes lamali. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look. Right. If there's this idea of carryover, where according to Rav Meir, once I have a machshava for the first part of the matir, unless otherwise stated, it carries over till the end. Why would I need a new machshava for the third series? That's the chiddush of the Tosefta. That even according to Rav Meir, you didn't need a machshava for the third series. But if you have it, it won't upset that second series where you had nothing, where you had shtika. Right? You could have made the argument, you know, that according to Rav Meir, there's a carryover. So he didn't need to say anything for series number 2 and series number 3. And the fact that he did have a machshava for series number 3 calls into question what he was really thinking during series number 2. And that's the chiddush of the Tosefta. Gemara says, again, this is such an awkward pshat in the Tosefta. Maskif Rav Ashi, Midi Shada Katani. Really, it's an awkward pshat in the Tosefta. If you go back to the Tosefta and you read it, look at the top lines of the page. Right? Bein Berishona, Bein Bishnia, Bein Bishlishis. You're telling me that for 1, he had a machshava. For 2, he was shosek. For 3, he had a machshava. It doesn't say any of that in the Tosefta. It doesn't utter a word about shtika. So really, it's a difficult pshat in the Tosefta, and the Gemara, again, just leaves it alone. Right? Ella. Right? Whenever you see the word Ella, you know, new pshat. Ella amar avashi hachabamai askinan. So again, our third defense of the morning to try to defend Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says it's not about chatzi matir. That's not the issue. And the Tosefta on the top of the page seems to say, yeah, it is about chatzi matir. So finally, Ella amar avashi hachabamai askinan kagon shepigal berishona uvishnia uvishlishis. So, you're mefagel for all three. For all three. For the first series, for the second series, for the third series.
But if you're mefagel once, that's it. Why do you have to
do Mahu de tema. Right? Next, good. Next part. Mahu de tema. Isakadacha kolosa adas rishonu ose. So, exactly. And if, according to Rav Meir, because again, this is the way Reish Lakish understands Rav Meir. If, according to Rav Meir, everything follows the first machshava. So mahadar pigule bechol chad v'chad alamali. So then, why did I need to have a new machshava of chutz mano? If the Kohen Gadol was really interested in creating pigul, which just is rather remarkable when you stop, take a moment to pause, think about it. We're talking about the avodah of Yom Kippur. Right.
Is there consumption?
No human consumption.
Oh, okay.
No human consumption. It's Yom Kippur. There is Mizbeach consumption. Okay? If you take a step back and think about it, it's just so weird. This Kohen Gadol is really trying to affect Pigel with the par and the seer of Yom Kippur. But okay, fine. But we're right. It's analytical. It really is analytical. In other words, we know there's a prohibition of Pigel in the Torah, and it's possible to be mefagel by any carbon. And over here, we're analyzing the possibility, the potentiality of how to create pigul by the avodah of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, so I might have thought, look, according to Rav Meir, everything follows the beginning. Everything. So according to Rav Meir, then, it would come out, now, I don't need to have any machshava for the second series and for the third series. Once I have a machshava for the first series, that's sufficient. So I might have thought, so pigul b'chol chadachan lamali. So kamash malan. So the chiddush now is that according to Rav Meir, even though I don't need it, having the machshava is not going to upset your pigul. Meaning you still will be successful in being mefagel.
So according to Rav Meir, if he had no other recurrent mefagel, right? He was mefagel again.
Right.
That first time would suffice.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Again, the Gemara, even though this is a third possible defense of Reish Lakish, and how to understand that Tosefta, the Gemara says, V'habein bein kitani. Again, it doesn't really fit into the simple language of the Tosefta, because the Tosefta says, bein, right? Bein berishona, bein bishnia, bein bishlishis. And that sounds like I wasn't mafagel for all three series. It sounds like I was mafagel either for one or for two or for three. Kasha, the Gemara says, you know what? That's difficult. That's really difficult. So, after all said and done, we have a Tosefta, and again, the simple pshat, the Tosefta is not like Reish Lakish. Rav Meir does maintain, simple pshat, does maintain that you're mafagel b'chatzi matir, even though on Yom Kippur there's a totality of 43 hazos. If I have a machshava pigel for any one of them, now I'm not 100% sure, by the way, even for one of the 43, does it have to be for a full series? I'm not 100% sure about, but if I'm mafagel for any one of the series, first, second, or third, I've created pigel according to Rav Meir. Why? Simple pshat of Rav Meir is because you're mafagel b'chatzi matir. Okay, and Reish Lakish doesn't agree with such a pshat, but it really is a simple pshat. The Tosefta, the Gemara ends off with the word kasha, meaning Reish Lakish's position is hard to maintain after seeing this Tosefta.
Reish Lakish's position on Rav Meir is that you were your father in the first,
correct,
and Azayas, and then you were Shtika in the second,
correct,
third, fourth, and you're still mafagel, but the Chachamim are saying.
Chachamim say you have to be mafagel the entire.
That you have to think about mafagel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Through all of it. Yeah, I know that.
Reish Lakish's description of Chachamim is the same.
His thesis has nothing to do with the Chachamim. We know what the Chachamim say. His thesis is within Rav Meir.
And they say kasha because it's not tiyukta, but it's just.
When the Gemara ends off, that's absolutely correct. When the Gemara ends off with the words kasha, it means it's not a backbreaker. Meaning. Look, the Amorayim, you know, in defense of Reish Lakish, three Amorayim came forward, stepped forward, and tried to defend Reish Lakish. They obviously feel that there's something to what he's saying, and they really tried very hard to defend him, even though it does not stand the simple pshat of the Tosefta. Amar Mar. Okay. And now the Gemara itself is going to go back and try to defend Reish Lakish. Right, Amamar Rashi over here writes, Amanda Mahada Lukumi Tamid Rav Meir Mishum Mefagel Mechatzi Matir Kaparech. We are now attacking those who attack Reish Lakish. Meaning, the Gemara now would like to try to defend Reish Lakish. Amamar. Rabbi Meir Omar Pigel V'chayev and Lav Karas. Rav Meir says that it's Pigel and you're going to be Chayev Karas. Michti. Karsal mechayev achi yekruv kol matirin. Dama mar karsas kasha kach arsas pasal. Mar arsas kasha achi yekruv kol matirav. Af arsas pasal achi yekruv kol matirav. Look, we've said this from the very beginning when we started learning about pigel, and this is now, pigel came up in the second parak, comes up in the third parak, and now, God bless us, it comes up in the fourth parak. Right? A lot of pigel. And one of the basic rules regarding pigel is that all the avodas have to be concluded correctly and properly in order for pigel to take place. Meaning that you only have to have a machshava during one of the avodas. It has to be, according to Chachamim, the entire avoda. But you have to have a machshava during one of the avodas. And if you do so, it's only going to be pigel if the other three avodas are done kedasu kedin. Then and only then are you going to have the effects of pigel take place, take effect on the animal. Good. And now the Gemara is bothered by the following. V'ha, kaven dechashiv bei bifnim psula kemandalo ade dame ki hander made behechal maya ba'amahu deka ade. First of all, this line of Gemara just made me nuts because the word ade over here is an Aramaic word. It's the same word as mazeh. You know, one of your cheats in terms of going from Aramaic to Hebrew is the Dalet and Zayin are often interchangeable. Like in Hebrew, if the word is Zahav, in Aramaic, if the word is Dahav, Dahav, right? As if I speak Aramaic. So,
yeah, the conversion.
Right. So Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable letters between Hebrew and Aramaic. So the word Madeh over here means Mazeh, right? To sprinkle. So the Gemara's question basically goes like this. Look, if you had a machshava bifnim, right? In other words, in your Kodesh HaKadoshim series, you had a machshava of chutzazmano. So you've disqualified it now. It's as if you weren't mazed, as if you weren't sprinkled it. So now, what's happening? You still have more of this blood. and you take this blood outside, and you sprinkle onto the parochas, and you sprinkle onto the mizbech apnimi, the Gemara says it's maya ba'alma, it's water. Meaning, didn't you disqualify the blood when you had the machshava psula in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So what good are the remaining sprinklings that you do outside? Now, in
what makes that a correct premise?
In the yeshiva world, we would call this a klutz kasha. Right? Klutz kasha means, I don't know how to translate klutz kasha well, but klutz kasha is basically, right, the whole premise of the question is kind of bizarre. Right? You're asking a question about pigol. Oh, you see, if you had a machshavas pigol, by part of it, well, what's the rest of it's just maya ba'alma, it's just water. Wait a second. now,
Well, how do you know that
when you had
the messes that up?
Right, right.
That's the assumption. That's the assumption
that's the premise that the question is built on. Sure. Now, what I'm going to do something is a little bit unconventional, and I'm going to skip two lines of Gemara. I'm going to go to Rava. It's unconventional. I'm going to basically go over Rava's answer, and then I'm going to go back over Rava's answer. So, do this. Let's do this. Rava Amar Afilo Tema Bapar Echad V'Sir Echad. Lepigula maratza arbaim v'shalsh. Lepigula maratza. Period. Sorry. In other words, Rava says, "What do you mean? The whole question is a klutz kasha." Meaning, that's how pigul works. Pigul always works where during one of the avodas I have a machshavas pigul, which of course is going to upset the whole karban. Of course it is. But the only way pigul works is if I finish the job. If I do all the other avodas correctly. So what are you asking me? I sprinkle the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and I have a machshavas pigul. So and the rest of it's going to be maya ba'alma, the rest of it's going to be water? No, the rest of it's going to be blood. It is blood. And it's done correctly. So of course, yes, that's exactly what happens every time you do pigul. So Rava's answer is, there's no question.
Now, the guy who's doing it, does he realize immediately that he was mefagel?
Yes, in other words, the whole idea of mefagel is that you know that there's a time in...
So if he realizes that he's going to mefagel, it's to his benefit to make the thing puzzle so he doesn't get carried for eating it later.
Okay.
It's
hard to always explain motivation when the world of pigel. Why would the Kohen do that, knowing that what he's creating now is pigel? I don't have an adequate way of explaining motivation. Over here on Yom Kippur, it's even more unusual.
Right, I mean, it's unusual for the guy to realize that he was mefagel, and then
right.
He's going to say, okay, I'm going to do the rest of it correctly now.
Right.
And then we're
okay,
then
good. Let's go back now.
Well, he realizes he was mefagel after.
Okay, let's go back
that's
now.
That's my question. Does he become...
Wait 1 second. Amar Rabba. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the first answer of the question. The question was, I don't understand. He's sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He has a machshavas pigol. Doesn't that ruin the rest of the blood? So, Amar Rabba, the first answer is, Mishkachala ba'arba aparim uvidalat se'irim. Well, we could be talking about a case where we had four bulls and four goats on Yom Kippur. Four bulls, four goats? What do you mean? There's only one bull and one goat. And you sprinkled and you spilled and you had to get new ones and you sprinkled and you spilled and you had to get new ones. So each series was its own independent series. So therefore, when you got to the part of the parochas, the sprinkling of the parochas, you use new bloods. That's Rabba's answer, and that's how we can get around this issue of the rest of the blood is just maya ba'alma. Now you understand. Right, Rabba's treating the premise of the question seriously, as if you're right. Oh, you're right. The rest of the blood is just maya ba'alma. And now you get to the next part. Rava Amar, Rava's really giving a more fundamental answer to the whole question. Afilu tema b'parecha v'sir echad lepigula maratze. Right, that's how pigul works. You are mefagel part of it, and the remaining part is done correctly. Okay, next. Arbaim v'shalosh. The Gemara now is just going to get caught up a little bit on a technical point. How many sprinklings are done on Yom Kippur? So the magic number that we saw in the Tosefta was 43. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya arbaim v'sheva. We have a brisa that says 47. So the Gemara, yeah, so how did you get, how did that happen? 47 is four more than 43. Hakam anda amar ma'arvin l'karnos. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not a big deal. Our Our Tosefta maintains that you have to mix up the bloods together in order to hit the corners of the Mizbeach. So it's not four for the par, four for the seer. It's mixing and then doing four of both of them. That's our Tosefta. The Braisa that we just quoted says that you do them separately. So it's not four, it's eight. Good. The Hakaman Damar in Ma'arvin Lakarnos. I'm sorry, the Hakaman Damar in Ma'arvin Lakarnos. Sorry. The Hatanya Arban Vishmona. Now we have another Braisa that says 48. Right? So how did you get to the magic number 48? So Hakaman Damar Shayarim Ma'akvin. So the Shirayim are Ma'akev. After all the sprinkling that's done in the Heichal, right? 16 in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 16 against the Parochas. Let's now say 8 on the corners of the Mizbeach, right? 32 plus 8 is 40, plus 7 on the Tiharo Shel Mizbeach, 7 on the very top of the Mizbeach, that gets you to 47. This Tana, who says 48, everybody agrees the next step. What happens after that? In other words, you still have blood in the bowl. You go outside the Heichal and you pour the remainder onto the base of the Mizbeach. We normally say, for all the other times that this is done, this is not essential. It's a mitzvah, it's not essential. There is an opinion out there, which we'll be introduced to later in the Masechta, that maintains that this pouring of Yom Kippur is essential. And once it's essential, so now that's how you get to the number 48. Hakaman Dami
ain't counted as one of Zerika. He's counting as one of Zerika.
He counts it as a Zerika.
He counts it as part of Zerika.
In other words, it's
something pouring, it's something different.
Correct. In other words, you're right. In other words, procedural wise, it's pouring, it's not Zerika. But in terms of essential components, if you missed it,
right.
Yom Kippur wasn't, you know, Yom Kippur didn't happen. That part of the Avot didn't happen. Okay. Pasuk.
Just you take the same.
Take the blood and put it on the top.
I'm sorry. If the blood's not mixed, this opinion was that you're not ma'ariv the par and the seer. So how do you get seven?
If the bloods are not mixed.
That was this opinion. Right?
So no, the blood. No, everyone agrees that for the seven on the top, it's a mixture.
Just the question of the
around the corners. Correct. Correct.
You just take the same blood and pour it seven.
Yes. Okay.
See, the halacha is that if you didn't pour it, it's not makif. That's the halacha. That's
okay.
What you read every morning.
That's what you read. That's what you read every morning. Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. He does two things. He reads it, and he understands it. Okay, Meisvei. Let's finish up. One more to go, and this last one is going to be a challenge on Reish Lakish. Okay, so what we tried to do previously is defend Reish Lakish, and now we are going to challenge Reish Lakish. Meisvei. By medra mamorim bekmitza bematan kli uvehiluch avabalo lahaktara. Nasan is the comments by Machshava Vesalavona Bishtika, Oshanasan is the comments Bishtika Vesalavona by Machshava, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigo Vechayavan Lav Kares. Again, we go back to our mincha, our flower offering. Again, like we start off this morning, by the flower offering, two things are being burned on the Mizbeach: the fistful of flour, your komets, your kmitza, and the lavona. Now, for the lavona, it's not as procedurally complex as the kmitza. Kmitza, put your hand in, take a fistful of flour, put it in a kli sharis, walk it to the mizbeach, go to the top of the mizbeach, burn it on the top of the mizbeach. Right, there are four steps in the kmitza. Lavona, sprinkle, skim off the lavona, and throw it on the fire. That's it. There's no kli sharis. It's just a haktar. It's just burning. So fine, but still, there's a haktar. You have to burn it. That's a matir. If you don't burn the lavona, the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the mincha. Good. According to Rav Meir, in this Braisa, when it comes to the kmitza and lavona, watch as I reread the last couple lines. Avabalo lahaktara, nasan es hakometz b'machshava. You offer the kometz a fistful of flour with a machshava of chutzos mano. As a lavona v'shtika, and the lavona is done without any machshava whatsoever. Good. Oh, shenasan es hakometz b'shtika. Or if you offer the lavona b'shtika, I'm sorry, the komets b'shtika and the lavona b'machshava, so Rav Meir says that's pigel. So now again, Reish Lakish's thesis is that it's not about Chatzi Matir. The simple pshat in this braisa is it is about Chatzi Matir. And right, in fact, the braisa's order is very specific. The first one was done b'shtika. The second one is done b'machshava. So, and let me just finish the sentence. The Chachamim remain bokaris aichif aga b'chol matir. And the Chachamim, as consistent as they are, says no, you need the full matir. But again, ketani miya esa kametz b'shtika v'salvana b'machshava. Upalig. Rav Meir argues even in the case where you start with shtika and you end with machshava. Now that's chatzi matir. So Reish Lakish, what do you have to say about that? So aim, yeah. That's tough.
Does it matter when the chassid comes first or second?
Of course. But what is that? According to Reish Lakish, that makes all the difference. Because Reish Lakish believes that everyone agrees that there's no chatzi matir, that there's no pigle by chatzi matir. It's just a question of carryover. You can't have carryover. The only way carryover works is if it's first and then everything else is done b'shtika. Carryover doesn't work in the reverse. You could make that argument, but the Gemara never assumes that. So again, to defend Reish Lakish, the Gemara is going to offer really not the simple pshat in the Braisa. Maybe we're talking about a case where you already offered the Lavona b'machshava
before the
Kmitza.
You're allowed to do that?
It doesn't seem to be an order in terms of which one has to come first. So Chada the Hainu Reisha. So the Gemara says, I got two problems. Number one, the Bryce already dealt with that case. Right. The Od had Tanya v'achakach. And also, look, the Bryce seems to be very clear of the achakach. And so for a second time this morning, Kasha. The Gemara ends off by saying that's difficult. Good, so this Bryce is difficult against Reish Lakish. The flavor you get after all said and done is that the Gemara really goes out of its way to defend Reish Lakish. Because apparently the Gemara has some tradition, I don't know. In other words, I'm just making an observation. It's a simple observation. Right? The Tosefta we quoted on the top of Membeis Amud Aleph, the Braisa that we just quoted right now, seems to say that the simple Pshan Rameir is that you're Mefaga B'chatzi Matir. Reish Lakish says that's not on the table. That's not up for discussion. Everybody holds that you're not Mefaga B'chatzi Matir. The only question is whether or not there's a carryover from your first machshava to the rest of the matir that you do, even if the rest of the matir that you do is b'shtika. That is his understanding of the machlokes of Rameir and the Chachamim, and the Gemara spends a full daf, right? All of Membeis, today's daf, is dedicated to defending Reish Lakish, even though it's a tough position to defend. And, all right, apparently the Gemara knew something.
What is Rabbi Yochanan mentioning at all?
I don't know.
Is he supportive of Reish Lakish, maybe?
We don't know. He's show stake. He's quiet on this. Okay, that's the end of Daf Membeis. Continue tomorrow with a new mission and a new discussion. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Amar Tzvi Shabbat Lezapi Sol Tzicha Chir Bam Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Nechafetz Amansi Go Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.